Arr, Grog.
OJ Simpson is dead.
Well, hey! That's good.
That's how we open the podcast.
Well.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. OJ Simpson is dead.
Yes. Weren't we talking about him the other week?
We were. We were talking about the fact that I told you that he did that thing with Ruby Wax.
Yeah. That's right.
But I saw the full context of that, which is where she was interviewing him on the roof of a hotel somewhere. Mm. And he got quite shitty about the fact that he was being asked, did you do it? And then he came to a room after the filming and kind of faked the stabbing with the banana after that.
A banana, you say, Matthew?
It was a banana.
Was it a banana?
It was a banana. A banana.
Anyway.
Yeah, I will provide a link to that. Yeah, he totally did it.
Yeah, did we deaderize him by mentioning him?
I think we were the final nail in his coffin, yeah.
In his banana.
What comedy movie was he in the 90s, Kerry?
Was it an airplane one?
Naked Gun.
That was what I meant.
George said this week to Harrison, voicemail's a bit 1985. So he was travelling through time. What travelling through time movie from 1985 did we talk about recently?
Well, Back to the Future.
Yes, there you go. Kerry's a pro now. By the way, a lot of people have asked that you quiz me on 80s classic movies with lines as well. So we'll have to figure out a way that they can do that because they're going to have to get the message to you without me seeing it.
DM the Cider Shed on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. You can DM me on there.
Also, listeners, when everyone sent their lines into me, they didn't say what movies they were from. Put the name of the movie in parenthesis for Kerry, will you?
Ooh, oh, you knew them, didn't you, Matthew, without having to look them up, I expect.
Of course I did. I did ask for classic movies. Come on. I mean, when you think Say Hello to My Little Friend is from E.T. and then you blamed me for my delivery.
Yes, he is quite little. And he's a friend, so makes sense.
Okay. Someone else who's quite little is Bartleby, because he's a pony. See that, Kerry? That was a...
smooth segue.
Bartleby. Why does he speak Bartleby? Oh, God.
It reminds me of someone when he's doing that voice. Oh, James Baxter from Adventure Time. You ever seen that?
No.
James Baxter. Baxter.
What's all right, there's a horse called James Baxter in Adventure Time. I think it's a unicorn that is always pivoting on a ball and going around the top of a hill. And
are you okay, Matthew?
Yeah, Adventure Time is weird enough as it is, but I kind of watched that with like a bunch of Brazilians. And when James Baxter appeared, he just goes James Baxter and keeps like dancing on this ball. But I just couldn't stop laughing because I went infant school with a kid called James Baxter.
Do you think they know this and they're copying him?
No, I think they just know someone else called James Baxter and they're making fun of
him. Do you mean James Baxter from Emmerdale Farm? I've just Googled James Baxter. Quite a common name, I suppose.
Well, type in James Baxter Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah, that helps, doesn't it? Narrow things down a bit.
And he'll appear.
A horse who travels around the land of Ooh.
Yeah.
Cheering people up by balancing himself on a beach ball. He's loved by the community.
James Baxter!
Wow. Is this a stoner cartoon or something?
That's a bit of a stoner cartoon, but kids can watch it without having any idea what's going on.
Okay. Right. Lovely. Great. That's a good start, isn't it? OJ is dead. There's a horse on a beach ball. What more do you wish for from a podcast?
Yes. Let's have an ad.
Yep.
Grundy Media presents The Village Shop Testimonies.
We came in for some wet wipes and a pack of biscuits. My wife got chatting to the friendly gentleman behind the counter. Unfortunately, he wasn't to know she had Greco-philosophobia, an extreme fear of Greek philosophy.
Isn't that Hellenophobia?
No, apparently that's a fear of that minging cheese over there. Anyway, as she was settling up, he started quoting Plato's Allegory of the Cave. She dropped the hobnobs, vaulted through the window, sprinted across the green and up into the Hassett Hills. That was 3 years ago. I haven't seen her since. At least she has the wet wipes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
George has hit the jackpot. He's got a talking horse, and he's hoping to pay vet bills with it. What acid-riddled brain came up with this storyline?
I daren't imagine.
Do you know how much vet bills are for a horse?
Well, no. Well, we had them listed by Jacob, didn't we, the other week? Or was it Alistair? What, one of those two?
It was Jacob. Yeah. I mean, you fancy both of them, Kerry, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But there was that moment where, at the end of totting up the bill, Jacob went, and not to mention my fee. And George went, what you just have?
I am enjoying George again, though, Matthew. Are you this week?
I feel you are getting lulled into a false sense of security here, Kerry.
I'm not secure, but I like him as a character and what he's doing. I like, you know, when he was in the tea room, he was all over it. He knows what he's doing. He pays attention to what type of tea it is. It's breakfast tea. Yes, of course. Like, you know, I can't do the posh, funny coffees, but, you know, train me and I'll do it. Why does he, is it because he's fancying Fallon? Is it because he can see money in this emporium? What's driving him to try to sort of wheedle his way in there?
He's in the village shop reviewing Susan's village shop testimonials. And he says, I'm sorry, Nana, you were interviewing Pip. And in the background, you can see Jim's scrawny ass. I was like, I think I'd rather see Jim's scrawny ass than Pip. No, that is Pip, George.
Bending over, getting toilet rolls.
Yeah. And it's like the old Harry Enfield moody teenager sketch when he fancied his mate's mum, wasn't it? Fallon calls and he's like, oh, hello, Fallon. His voice completely broke.
Hello. Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Patterson.
He does say Mrs. a lot, which I think is a trick with him. Because at one point, he referred to Linda as Mrs. Snell, didn't he? Saying she doesn't want some half-assed video on her channel.
Well, this is like he turns on the charm, doesn't he? Well, what he thinks is charm at sort of strategic moments in his funny old brain, doesn't he? Like he sort of mentioned to Fallon in the tea room, all I want is for my family to be, to get enough money to make my family comfortable because they've been working away and they've got nothing. And you think, oh, on the surface, that's... It's quite nice, doesn't it? But because it's him, I think, well, is he just saying that to her to impress her? Does he actually mean it?
I think he's telling her what he wants to hear. He's thinking Emma works side by side with her. He sounded quite crestfallen when he discovered he wasn't going to get a full time or he wouldn't be available for relief.
Yeah.
In the tea room. Maybe he's going to quit everything else just to work there with Fallon.
And then he sort of went, so are you paying me in cash or properly through my bank account? He wasn't really happy about that. Oh, yeah, I suppose that's okay.
It's going to go through Tom's bank account, isn't it? Bridge Farm, because it's all one horrible corporate entity now.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I quite want George to work in the tea room, actually, a lot of the time.
There was that weird scene at the end where Fallon was saying, you know, you should probably go and apologise to mum. And that music from The Shining was playing, like the ballroom music. It was all a bit creepy.
Yeah, go bury the hatchet, you know, through in the door, back. Like. Yeah. Oh, here's George. Yeah, he was going to pop by, wasn't he, and say sorry, a better sorry to Jolene.
Is he lying to Hannah as well, though, by suddenly being like, oh, you bowled quite well there, Hannah?
Well, he begrudgingly said that because she complimented the batting, didn't she? Oh, at one point, you know when Hannah was sort of going, I'd like to get to know you more, to Chris. I thought she was saying it to George.
No, she was talking to Chris at the end of
practice. I know, I got confused momentarily.
I guess all us bumpkins sound the same to you, don't they, Kerry?
No, he hadn't spoken. She just was saying, I'd like to get to know you better. And I thought, oh, that's quite a good tactic, actually. You know, I thought it was, you know, a move to try to just get along with each other. But she was talking to Chris anyway, so it's all bollocks.
What if we get a rebounding George from Fallon and a rebounding Hannah from Chris after they... then it's not Darrington they're... Oh, yeah, it's Darrington they're playing game, isn't it? Because they were going to play Little Crotch.
Little Croxley.
Little Croxley. Can imagine the levels of sledging from Little Croxley. They must have nothing in the bank.
But Darrington have already been trash-talking Ambridge on their website. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine, actually.
Yeah, so can I. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? Yeah. I wonder if they've got a their logo. I liked Harrison's pep talk, which was like, you know, Spurs. Oh, no, that was a bad attempt.
Go on, no good, Kerry. You always had it.
Spurs v Arsenal, Rangers v Celtic. It can get blown up in people's minds. Don't treat this Darrington game the same way. Like, that wasn't very good, was it?
I mean, I was imagining Chorten and the Wheelies, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, now, are Spurs Ambridge or are Spurs Darrington? That's what I want to
know. Spurs are Darrington.
Oh, good. Oh, can I just mention a little lovely sort of Sidershed podcast, little listener story to do with Arsenal? It's just sprung into my mind.
This will be faded out, but okay.
Oh, God. Well, there have been a few lovely stories from our listeners this week. Yes, so nice. So James he contacted me saying, I realised you're an Arsenal fan. I've got a spare ticket to Arsenal Aston Villa Sunday. Would you like to go to the Emirates? It's been really hard to get a ticket for years for me. And I sort of went, well, that's amazing. Thank you. Would it be weird if my son went? Because he's the real gooner in our household. And so my son is going, courtesy of a Sidershed pod listener, to a match at the Emirates on Sunday. And I'm going to go up to London to meet James, have a beer before the game. They'll go off to the game. I'll sort of be slumped in a pub with Arsenal fans watching the match near the Emirates. So I was like, bloody great. And he won't take any money for it. I mean, Max is thrilled about this. Slight digression, but because Spurs Arsenal was mentioned and this lovely thing happened with a listener, I sort of had to mention it. Who will win the cricket match, do you think? What with Hannah's bowling and George's magnificent batting?
I think they're going to win, and then George and Hannah are going to get it on in the pavilion.
This is Sunday, isn't it, the match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lillian was trying to rope Chris into working behind the bar of the... Does she just not realise that people have other jobs in this village? She's like, hello, Chris, you're quite hot. Why don't you work behind the bar? And he was like, no, I...
God, she's such a randy woman, isn't she? Yeah. Oh, it'd be lovely to have someone good looking. And he went, don't tell Kenton that.
Bartleby.
Whatever. It sounded like Kenneth Williams.
So he dished the dirt on Derek Fletcher shagging, who was it?
I don't know, but he's got a garden full of gnomes.
No, Gene Harvey.
Ah, yes.
It was Adam and Ian that had a gossipy night with Susan. Do you remember Adam when Adam started working at the dairy? Yeah. And then he invited her around.
They
for
got
dinner.
A bit tipsy, didn't they? Yeah.
Ian had worked in a restaurant. Derek Fletcher and Gene Harvey used to go there while they were having an affair.
Yes, well remembered. The Bartleby thing was like, oh, they were shagging so hard it made the house fall down or something, didn't it?
Was it the pillars of society were shaking and all the gnomes were looking the other way or something bizarre like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I loved how Harrison strode into the shop as well about when they were conversing around, you be careful, you'll be done for slander. And he went,
it's not slander, it's libel. And if it's true, it's neither.
He's like, doesn't give a shit.
Bartleby said that there'd been like a serious liaison.
Bartleby said.
That's a triple word score on Scrabble for Jazzer, isn't it?
I don't know that well. Okay, he's Scottish, isn't he? No.
God, everyone's Harrison this week.
I don't know that word. But I'm using it. It's like, that was just mental, wasn't it? Is this a word? What, liaison? Yes, it is. The Bartleby stuff, it's passing me by, really. I'm not that fussed, are you? What's the point? Is it going to lead somewhere? Is someone going to get really arsey about it?
Yes, because they decided tonight they're going to go after Justin.
Oh, well, I don't mind that. That's fine. I go all guns blazing there. What are they going to say?
Well, look at this prick. Look at this dandy with his fucking toupee. Thinks he
his
doesn't know.
His ex-wife's.
His ex-wife's shagging Brian. You think we don't know about his daffodil picture in the field?
Miranda thinks Brian's a much better shag than Justin. Whoa.
I remember seeing the two of them go at it in their purple onesies during COVID. What a sight that was.
Come to the ball and see just how f***ed off Lillian is. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
It's like a sort of hoarse town crier, isn't it? Hear ye, hear ye. It's
like... Labour under Ed Miliband announced their manifesto on a tombstone on a barge going down
the
Thames.
Oh, yeah, that was clever.
And Armando Iannucci tweeted out, if you want to know why we stopped doing the thick of it, this is it.
Yeah, the truth is stranger than fiction.
And I feel
always.
Like we're at that limit with the cider shed. Can we possibly go on anymore?
Oh, no, don't start saying that, Matthew. Come on, get a grip, love.
Kerry?
Yeah? Is it break time?
Yeah, let's have a little break.
We went a bit weird. Yeah, let's break. Gather ourselves.
I only went in for some fish fingers and a loaf of bread. I was waiting to pay when suddenly a gravelly-voiced elderly gentleman asked me if I'd be interested in availing myself of some out-of-date cola cubes that were on offer. There was something bewitching about his sales technique. Before I knew it, I was leaving the shop with an industrial pack of poppers, a lifetime subscription to Witch Badger magazine,
Badger!
A small nuclear warhead, and a tracker mortgage. F*** you, Village Shop!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Our impersonations of Bartleby ringing in my ears.
I mean, we should be honest with the listeners that you and I were recording this quite late on a Thursday. We were having a right old pop at each other, not at each other, but just back and forth.
About other things.
Oh, just about life in general. There was at one point I was like, should we record or not?
Yeah, you just suddenly went, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I went all I went full Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I was like, come on, Matthew, we can do it. We can do it. You know, like when you're so tired, you're almost drunk with tiredness. It's like that. This week has been so heavy for me and you work-wise. Like I was like rattling home on a train. I had to stand up on my train from London Bridge all the way to Hayward's Heath. And I thought, I'll do my notes about the podcast on the train home. Nope, couldn't do that because I was standing sort of trying to balance all the way. Yeah, so it's very sort of cobbled together. I don't know if you can tell, listeners, at all. Yeah.
It's been a rough week for both of us, but
we're
doing all right. I mean, Kerry, I have a very simple question for you.
Okay.
If you were really into someone,
yeah,
and you rang them for the first time, and their answer machine message was this.
This is Harry. You know what to do.
Oh, his voice just drives me insane for a start. You know what to do. Never ring the number again. That would be a prime move. Yeah, so we started the week, didn't we? Sunday. Harry calls Alice at 3:30 a.m. That's nice of you. Didn't know whether she had Martha with her at that point. Being totally needy because he wanted a drink. We then hear a speakerphone conversation of her sort of going, what you need to do is pour the whiskey down the sink. Why he didn't do, what's it called when you can see pictures?
Visualization.
No, you know, like on your phone.
What, taking photos?
No, like she said, put me on speakerphone. What she should have said is, put me on
video call.
Yeah, that's it.
Bloody hell. There you go. There's the level of how.
Yeah, this is how mashed our brains are. So in my mind, and I tweeted about this, he's pouring a bottle of milk down the sink and the whiskey's on the sideboard. He has that after the phone call's finished.
It's a bottle of Blue Nun he's pouring down the sink, isn't it?
Well, there's no proof it was anything alcoholic, is there, is my point. So why speakerphone? Why not show me what you're doing with modern technology where you can film and with pictures I can see that it is the whiskey that you're pouring away. Anyway, it was a sort of side point of she trusts him to be doing what he says he's doing. And I think she's a fool to do that.
I think it was one of Natasha's summer orchard juices that he was pouring down because he went, oh, the smell.
Yeah. Oh, it's all gone wrong at the bottling plant this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, she bottled her shift, didn't she? Oh, here's an alternative.
This is Harry. You know what to do.
Piss off.
Shut up, you soppy wanker.
Yeah. Oh, there was a great tweet this week, but they said, this is the worst phone sex ever. Where she was like, take the bottle, pour it down the sink, run the tap, because that gets rid of the smell. And then we'll do a crossword together from the Borchester Echo. And he went, at first he sort of went, are you going to read me bits from the Borchester Echo? And she went, no, you know, whatever. As long as it's not thinking about drinking and it's not drinking. And I thought, well, stop mentioning drinking. Oh, he's vile, vile, vile. Don't like him. She shouldn't be dealing with him. When he sort of did that thing where he went, have you told your sponsor that you're helping me? Because I've read that if you're in a relationship with someone, you shouldn't be helping them out or whatever it was. And she was like, well, we're not in a relationship and I don't think we should mention it to my sponsor. I was like, yes, there's a good reason why you're not wanting to tell them because they just go run a fucking mile away from this guy.
He actually used the terminology, didn't he? You're not meant to buddy up with.
Ooh, yeah.
He's lying, isn't he?
Yes.
And there's no way that someone who in Alice's case is what? 18 months into this process?
Mm.
No. Well, it's 3 years since Alice was born, right? Sorry, it's 3 years since Marshall.
Now, yeah. I almost believed you. You know, I sort of go, yes, it is, yes.
Yes.
Her first birthday is in 7 months.
It's 3 years since Martha was born. And so all of that stuff has happened in that time. There's no way that she should be helping someone else, least of all a dysfunctional ex who hid it from her his rehabilitation.
I cannot fucking stand this guy. Anything about him. The minute he came on, sober, awful, awful. Do you know, I was actually thinking that, though. I was questioning myself and the script writers, and I was thinking, are we actually supposed to have any element of sympathy, empathy, feel any kind of, I don't know, generous spirit, wrong word, for this character? But do you know what I mean? I cannot actually tell whether we're supposed to think, oh, it is tough being an alcoholic, or if he's just an arsehole.
Well, can't he be both?
Oh, he can definitely be both. But are we meant to feel something? I mean, I don't know.
I get your question, Kerry. If they are hoping to elicit a sympathetic response from the listener, well, in this house, it ain't working. I don't know about anywhere else.
Yeah, something else has to happen for us to do that. To see some sort of genuine actions of...
No, I'm sorry. Look, there's very little I could do to have sympathy for this character now.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to sit there as Alice is saying, I'm an alcoholic, and him saying, I lost a friend to alcoholism. Can I hug you?
Oh, he's so disgusting. Honestly, the sound of his voice just does something.
Let's just hear it again.
This is Harry. You know what to do.
Piss off.
Shut up, you soppy wanker!
When Kate met Miranda.
Oh, God, that was the pièce de résistance this week. What a scene.
I liked the way that the only way you can get to the restaurant is to walk through a Plymouth.
Oh, just Miranda sort of breezing into the Bull. Lillian spotting her. She was in mid-conversation at that point and went, oh, the brazenness of her. And went, hello! Really turned on the fakeness to greet her. We've booked a room in the restaurant. And she referred immediately to Brian's Kate and Brian's Local, staking her claim on the old Brian stuff.
She could have taken it one stage further. Let me just breathe a bit of Brian's oxygen.
And when Lillian said, table for two, is it? And she, no, actually, it's table for three. Oh, I absolutely love this character. Miranda is brilliant with Brian. Sounds fantastic. Just owned Kate, and people should own Kate. And Kate has quickly realised that I'm going to say that I like you, and I'm going to say that I like plain speaking, and that you've got a good aura. Because I've met my match here. And if I don't do that, then there's going to be some sort of trouble.
What was the name of the event that Kate was hosting at Spiritual Home?
Oh, God. It was something about discover your inner child.
Connect with your inner infant or something like this, wasn't it? And Brian was like, what does that mean? They're all going to be throwing tantrums and pissing themselves.
And she was like, no, it's about being playful and innocently discovering things. Oh, God, I actually was quite sold on that. And I thought I'd quite like to pretend that I'm innocent and discovering things anew. But it did sound, it was a, like, one day retreat, wasn't it?
She found Miranda's hairbrush and went, come on, Kate. We're both grown ups and so are you, theoretically.
Yes. It's Kerry Davis, isn't it? There's so many really good, funny, funny lines. The Brian Miranda Kate thing was really fantastic. So when Kate first walked in and Miranda said, because she'd come straight from work, how lucky you are to wear such unstructured clothing in the workplace. So unapologetically bohemian. She's like, oh, really cutting. you know, they sound like compliments, but they aren't.
Do you hold pagan ritual sacrifices up there at spiritual, what's it called? And she went, home. She said, yes, that's it, yes. Do you murder a firstborn on the first night of Midsummer's Eve? Well, actually, we do.
Yes. And like Kate's response was, nobody should be judged on what they wear. Formal dress codes are an archaic remnant of a class-ridden patriarchal society. And Brian just goes, before we go into all that, as if he's going to, shall we just go to our table? It was just like the perfect scene where he's just, oh, for God's sake, these two. All I want is food and wine.
Yeah, Brian should have just said at that point, I'll have the chicken, please.
Yeah. And Kate seriously thought, like, I'm going to grill this woman about, you know, how serious are you taking things? And Miranda was like, I take everything seriously, especially pleasure. What a brilliant answer.
Kerry, quick quiz. How many properties does Miranda have?
Okay, right now. She said she's based in Oxford or near Oxford, or in Oxfordshire, Oxfordshire.
You're kind of stumbling into
so that's one house.
Question here, but okay.
And then, she has a flat in Belsize Park.
She does.
And a cottage in Polperro.
She does, but you can't tell me where the first one is.
Oh, what was it? Let me think. In Oxford. Near Banbury? Was it Banbury?
I'll give Banbury. It to you. It's Banbury.
There you go. I mean, what a property portfolio. I would quite like that.
By the way, you know, we've had conversations about when I suspect, when I'm listening in my headphones, that actors are not in the studio.
Who was not in the room this week?
I noticed that when I was listening on my AirPods on the train. I thought Brian wasn't where whoever he was speaking to was supposed to be. Does it involve Brian?
It does involve Brian, but I think Brian was in the room. I think Brian and Miranda were in the room too, but the exchange in the house between Kate and Brian was a little stilted. But when she came to the bull, she was not in the room.
Oh, really? Now, I think Brian wasn't in the room with somebody else. So I'm reckoning the common denominator here is that Brian is sort of phoning in his line somehow from somewhere else.
Early on, I thought he might have been phoning it in too. So maybe the answer is no one was in the room.
No one is in any communal rooms. Was it like pandemic times recording?
The monologues.
I did love that Miranda said, I'd like to quiz Kate. It goes both ways. I'd like to know about your family. She could be a serial killer for all I know. And I was like, oh my God, what if Kate is a serial killer?
And no one ever goes sniffing around up there at Spiritual Home. Anything could be good. Do you remember how shitty she got when Kirsty came over to look at the fire pits? Maybe there's like 40 bodies under there.
Exactly. Who knows? She just gets the guests in, takes the money, never seen again. Oh, what about the line, Matthew? Exactly how many children do you have on how many continents?
How dare you, Kerry? I will not answer that question.
I thought of you. Do you know what the answer was?
It was 3 on 2, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Which is also a category on Pornhub.
Yeah, I saw a great movie called that in 1989.
Anyway, Miranda, Kate and Brian, fucking great. I half hoped that all of the rest of the week's episodes would just be those three. Sadly.
A week of that would be great, wouldn't it? I don't mind a bit of cricket. All right, Kerry, let's have a little break and let's talk wonderful, wonderful listeners, etc.
Cool.
It's a great shop for knicking stuff. I've told all my mates.
wonderful people support this podcast. This sounds like a Children in Need ad, sorry. Let me just start that again. Wonderful people support this podcast. Is that worse?
At Christmas time, there's no need to
No one needs Gary Barlow, the tax-dodging twat, saying, give what you can for children in need. Well, why don't you just go back to the Cayman Islands and empty your bank account, Gary?
Yeah, pay your taxes, you
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful people support this podcast on Patreon. And Kerry,
yeah,
we've got three new patrons.
Da, da, da. I genuinely mean that. I don't know who they are. Great, lovely.
So first up, Mandy Mack. Thank you, Mandy Mack, who I believe is in Australia. I might have that wrong, but I think she is. So, you know, cheers, Mandy Mack. This is for you.
Hey there, Mandy Mack. Thanks so much for entering the Cider Shed Patreon. We're delighted to have you.
Badger!
Cheers, Mandy. Thank you so much for your support. Really appreciative. And Matt Kay has signed up as well.
Blimey.
Oh, yes. Matt Kay. Here he is in the Cider Shed Patreon.
Badger!
Thanks so much, Matt. Sit back and relax.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Welcome on board.
And finally, Anthony Adams. Can we call you Tony? Probably not.
Well, hello there, Anthony Adams. Thanks so much for becoming a Cider Shed patron. We feel a little more complete now.
Badger!
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
We're very grateful. Thanks for that. Anyone that wants to support us, you can do that at www.patreon.com/thecidershed.com. We got a lovely message from patron Patricia this week. Sometimes we get lovely messages and we respect the privacy of the sender. So thank you so much. Lovely message, Patricia. Really appreciate it. Kerry, you had a message as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I've had fabulous message from Laura Martinez. So I'm not going to go into the details of it because it was quite a lengthy one, and but it was such a lovely one to receive. Thank you, Laura. Also had an interesting message from Dudley Butt. A true story for you. I've been listening to The Archers from the very beginning. As a child growing up on a farm, it was compulsory in the 50s. I noticed later in life that nearly every episode had the line, fair enough. I wrote, in brackets, a real letter in those days, close brackets, in 1976 to producer William Smethurst, stating that I had spotted the scriptwriter's in-joke. I got a letter in reply from him with just two words. Fair enough. My point is that this in-joke continues to this day. Nearly every episode has a character, often a Grundy, but not always, saying, fair enough. There are too many for it to be a coincidence. Could you perhaps mention the possibility and see if anyone else has spotted it? Growing up, I always imagined my farming grandparents as Dan and Doris, and my parents as Phil and Grace/Jill. That makes me David. And so, I don't know if you want to admit that. And don't forget that David was suspiciously at the scenes of death of Jethro, Doris, and murdered Nigel. And a badger!
Badger!
Yeah, didn't he chainsaw a tree that then fell on Jethro and killed him?
Oh, yes. He is a serial killer, David.
Yeah. Not Kate. Miranda's barking up the wrong tree there, isn't she?
Exactly. Maybe they're all serial killers, Matthew.
Maybe. I ventured into The Archers for the first time today, and I asked, it's been a busy ass week, just about to listen to The Archers for the first time, anything I should know? And I got a lot of people, I'm just going to read one quote. It was from Lynn Bird, who just went,
God, Lynn. I wonder what she was objecting to particularly. Was it the whole thing?
Fair play. Miranda, Apple Android app, said, excellent Kate and Miranda scene. Mm-hmm. Pat said George and Hannah, Chris and Hannah, but top of the bill, Miranda and Kate. And it's a Kerry Davis week. Yeah. Ambridge Pony Club said, get Matt underscore Mark 2 and Kerno 27 on to vent about the tree surgery gubbins. I have suggested they email us about those things. As we're recording on Thursday, we'll get into it.
Actual tree surgery.
Yeah, I know.
They have. Yeah. It's good.
We'll create a special section show called something like The Root of the Problem.
Trees are us. Trees are green.
Trees are green. I just remembered that joke from school. That's like 40 years. It's just come back to me.
Yeah, Teresa Green. And what's the other? Angus McOtup.
Into the Lion's Den by Claude Bottom.
Yeah. Oh, great. Claude Bottom. Oh, this is so stupid.
Oh, God. Kerry.
Yes.
Is anyone insane enough to have written us a review this week?
Yes, Matthew. We have had another 5-star review, and the title of it is Scrambled Eggs. It's by Morello 7777. Now, I know that Morello 7777 has written reviews before, but they've taken the time to write another, so I'm going to share it. If anyone hasn't already cottoned on to just how funny this podcast is, they should treat themselves to listening to this episode, especially to the rules sequence for the Bulls' mad egg and spoon race held during the Easter weekend. I have listened and re-listened to this sequence at least a dozen times, and it makes me laugh every time. And that is thanks to you, Matthew, with your creativity.
It was one of those ideas where you just take all of the ridiculous storylines from the last few years and put it together. And then you suddenly think, well, hang on, these storylines are absolutely ridiculous, aren't they? We have a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast. Rob Williams said, cosmic, who says that nowadays? We all said that, didn't he? Eddie said, we've only got to lay 7 more slabs, then we can have a break. And you went, cosmic. And I noticed that Fallon said, awesome, to George.
Whereas Harrison said something like, all right, cocker.
He said, all right, cocker. All right, Georgie boy. It was all getting very informal. Nina said, surely they should pass the course before buying all the changels, etc. What if they don't pass the course? What if Emma passes and Ed doesn't? There's lots of question marks. And yeah.
Well, that's a good storyline, isn't it?
I think it's going to end in disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, we need 4 of those chainsaws. Or is it 2 for aerials? Are they chopping down aerials as well as trees?
Thanks to Rob Killick that sent us another Badger beer, which is different to the other Badger beers that we've... How many of these Badger beers exist?
What is it about badgers that beer people want to have them on their marketing? Do you think Natasha's going to have a badger juice?
This is from Badger Brewery, but the beer is called Thirsty Ferret.
Ferret! Matthew, we need to get sponsorship from these people. Yeah. It involves alcohol and badges.
Yeah, and I won't be able to receive any of this.
I don't care. Never mind. I'll take all of it in.
And you'll keep one bottle for me, won't you, Kerry? Until I
come
over.
I don't know. Depends.
Okay. On that absolutely fake promise, I think we should probably get out of here.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, given that we were totally delirious, I hope that was listenable for all of you. If something cataclysmic, and it would have to be pretty fucking cataclysmic, happens on Friday, we might do an insert. But I think we're going to put Friday in as a... Should we do it as a patron next week?
So, yeah, we can... If something exciting happens on the Friday episode of The Archers, we'll pop it into Patreon early next week.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, everyone. Love you. Love you, Kerry. Thanks for bearing with me this evening.
Oh, me or them?
No, but to both of you. We've got one listener and
both
you.
Me and the listener. I wonder who that is. My mother. Hello, Mum. And Mary, your auntie.
No, hang on. My mum and my mother-in-law listens as well. We've got one listener in south of Brazil. Yeah.
My brother does as well. Hi, Sam.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, all of our 7 listeners. Thank you so much. You know, there you go. Tell your friends about us, and we might be up to 14 next week.
Oh, apologies for the slightly hysterical episode, but you know, we love you, you love us. Let's get it on.
That's a bit presumptuous, Kerry.
They do.
All right, okay. Big kisses, everyone. See you later. Bye. Hang on.